Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
It is August 10th, another week of exciting automotive news. I was going to say, I was like, is there no electric vehicle news this week? But unfortunately, there is. Well, or fortunately, depending on how you think about it. But let's dive right into it here. First thing, very, very non-electrical. This is Lamborghini. Lamborghini is, they're doing something crazy here with the new Urus. They want to prove themselves, or prove to everyone else, I guess, that their Urus is record setting. So they put it up to Pikes Peak and got a Pikes Peak record of 10 minutes, 32 seconds, and was it 18 seconds faster than the last record, which was a Bentley Bentayga.
Which wouldn't really be that competitive of an SUV regardless.
But it's the same owner.
Yeah, I think they're just taking turns because they know the fastest one is the Cayenne Turbo GT. So they've got to, everyone's got to have a chance at the podium. So last time we ran the Bentayga, oh, bravo Bentley. Now we're going to run the Lambo. Oh, good job, Lambo. But realistically, the Cayenne's going to take it, I think. Yeah, well, or some electric SUV,
Maybe some
maybe a
electric
plaid.
thing.
Maybe someone will do a Model X plaid and build
Run,
for those. Yeah,
yeah.
that would probably maybe beat a
Urus, maybe.
well, and the nice thing about electric is you don't have to worry about elevation.
You don't have to worry about it losing power at the top end. I was reading this blurb here. Essentially, this is a brand new model of the Urus. Well, like not brand new. I mean, it still looks like the Urus, but it's going to be a new model that's released on August 19th. We don't exactly know what that is going to be like, but I guess we'll have to wait till the August 19th. What they did say, God, can't English tonight, is they're using Pirelli P0 Trofeo R's, 285s up front and 325s in the rear.
Yeah,
325
and
is pretty meaty.
Pirelli specifically makes this tire for people that want to track their SUV because, like, you wouldn't run this size of tire on any sports car. It's kind of interesting that they to do that. Yeah.
Because I mean, I guess there's a segment for this now, right? You got the Urus,
Yeah.
RSQ8, Cayenne, like we said earlier.
Yeah,
Our
one of
RAV6 will probably fit this.
our local track days, one guy's been coming a lot with his Macan. Yeah.
Was it the same guy that I saw when I
Yes.
went to VIMC?
When he was at Ridge too, like,
Oh, nice.
yeah.
He went hard in that thing because the brakes were smoking when he came back.
I mean, anything that weight would smoke. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, we're concerned, like, I'm running a Supra or an M2, and I'm like, I'm not satisfied with these brakes. And you look at these SUVs, and they run similar. Well, at least a Macan would run a similar size brake setup as a Supra or an M2, but with a lot more
Just
weight behind it.
massive.
So I'm curious how these vehicles actually work. How many laps they can really sustain at a good pace. It's convenient. Like, oh, look at me. I've got one car to do it all. And I used to be about that life. When I had my STI, I was like, damn, this is my winter car, my summer car, my track car, my people carrier, and it's a wagon. I literally could move so much stuff in that car. But at the end of the day, I wasn't really happy about how it performed on track. It's great at everything else, but just I not my cup of tea when it comes to a track car. It's just too compromised. And it's like, yeah, you could probably do things to make it better, but yeah, I don't know. I don't want it to be like a huge money pit. But yeah, I find that, yeah, SUV is kind of a jack of all trades kind of thing. But I don't know how I feel about putting like fat track tires on an SUV because one, they just evaporate because of the weight and the G-force. But two, it's like The nice thing is you could. Urus is kind of small though. I wonder if you could carry your track tires and wheels to the track, swap them there.
I'm thinking like if it's 325, those are huge 22 inch wheels, and then the tire on top of that. I don't even know if you can stack them like vertically inside the cabin.
You can, but it's like the Urus is really small. The trunk of the Urus is quite small. Cayenne could probably swallow it. X5 for sure, Bentayga for sure, but Urus maybe not.
Who's gonna track a Bentayga?
Apparently Bentley.
Bentley to Pikes Peak that Pikes one time.
It's very irrelevant, but it's a cool race.
Absolutely. I mean, I was watching Randy Pope's
incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. Well, Randy is a. It's a veteran race car driver. He drove the model, I think it was a Model S, unplugged one. Yeah. And he got into a little bit of a doozy last year when he went off track. Luckily, there was like a runoff area where he was. It wasn't as bad as a few years back. I remember there was a big one. Evil went off the
rolling and rolling.
Yeah. That one was. Yeah, anyways, Pikes Peak, definitely a place where you can settle some scores, I guess. But another place that people like to settle scores.
Yeah, the iconic Nürburgring.
The one that James May doesn't care about and hates.
Frankly, it's... I mean, let's talk about the story first. But
yes, yeah. Okay. So the story is the new Nürburgring record is now... held for the Ticat
for production EV.
Production EV. It's 7:33.350. It's 2 seconds faster than the Plaid, but the Plaid wasn't the current Plaid, and it's not the Plaid that they're going to be releasing with the upgraded brakes and whatnot. So, I mean, it could fall back to Tesla in the future, but for now, Ticat holds that.
I mean, it's a 5,000-pound car at the end of the day. So I'm curious, like, at once, well, because all the manufacturers are moving towards making their sports cars electric or electrified. So I'm curious how that will turn out. Like, I think, because 7:33 is not that impressive of a time. It's not bad for an EV, but, you know, even 20, I would say 15 years ago, you know, a lot of supercars were running this kind of speed. It's not like mind-blowingly fast. It's decent, like, yeah, but it's at the same time there are a lot faster cars. Like, I don't know, off the top of my head, like a GT4 RS that, you know, it's around the same price as this, runs a 705 or 704. 704, and so that's a 30-second gap. My problem with the Nürburgring, as I've mentioned like a million times, is that it's just too inconsistent of a track. Because just, you know, just this past weekend we were down at the Ridge and it was so hot, and it's like the car is just not performing the way it normally does. And now imagine that amplified over x hundreds of corners and an 8 minute long, 7 minute long track. Like, it just, the inconsistency is so insane that it's like, yes, you've got drivers that can run super consistent times. I don't know how consistent you can be in a Taycan, because it probably can only give you one lap at full throttle. There's so many turns. Yeah, there's so many turns. It's a, what, 20-kilometer long track that I don't know why this is always the benchmark, because it just, there's no, like, you can't replicate it. Mm-hmm. So it's very non-scientific, because I think you come a different day, different time of year, whatever it may be, it's going to give you different results. Even if the car is exactly the same, the driver is exactly the same. What I'm more curious about is I want to see Randy Popes run this at Laguna Seca. I want to see the actual street car run at a normal track, a normal length track that, hey, he could probably turn five laps and then we have a real lap time, you know, 5-10 laps with the on one charge. That to me makes more sense. That with electrification, this is probably going to be a one lap wonder. And you know, that's the thing too with lap times is with the EV is you still probably can't run a normal track event. Like, it's fast and all, but do we really care? Because it's not going to change your life that much. But we are on that path, right? Like, eventually you're going to have tracks that all have EV charging, fast charging, ready to go, batteries, cooling, all that stuff is going to be up to snuff.
So, sorry to interrupt your thought there, but when you're saying Laguna Seca giving someone that has the power to put down consistent laps, mm-hmm. I was like, oh wait, Car and Driver does that because they do the lightning lap at Laguna. Mm-hmm. Porsche Taycan Turbo 255.2, which is matching an M5.
Oh, that's not Laguna. That's
was it not Laguna?
255 is not Laguna.
Oh, that's, right. No, VIR. Sorry. Like, or... it's Virginia. Sorry.
Yeah, VIR. Yeah, Laguna should be like in the 130s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just really slow cars.
I think the Model S has the record at Laguna right now. And so, yeah, really want to see. Because this Taycan, you know, they say it's a street legal car, and it kind of is. It kind of isn't, because it's got a cage in it for quote unquote safety.
Safety.
But, man, having driven a caged race car for my first time last month, I was like, damn. This is something else. Like, the rigidity and the directness is so much better than any street car. And it was my CRX, which, you know, that's a very flimsy car, but you add a cage into it and it's like, damn, this car is really effective now. Yeah.
Yeah. But for Taycan, like, the car itself, it's pretty rigid already. So I would assume that, you know.
Well, you see, to put the cage in, they have to gut it a little bit. They put the bucket seats in and all this stuff. Adds up that it's like no longer streetcar, because you know what, yeah. If it was rigid enough, and you know, it's past road safety, you know, crash testing and whatnot, they could just run it as is. But the fact is, it's going to be faster with the cage, with the seat, because the cage doesn't weigh that much, but the overall stiffness is going to be better.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And when you cage a car, to me, like, this is, I have the same issue with Global Time Attack. Like, Global Time Attack, it's that race series. They go all around America. I don't know if they do Canada too. Maybe next year, I think. But they go all around America and people, you know, race their cars Time Attack style. And they have a street class. But you look at the cars that run street class, they have diffusers and splitters that stick out 2 feet. The wing is like a foot above the car roof. Like, it's at which point, like, it's fully gutted, it's caged. It's not, where do we draw the line between what's a race car, what's a street car, right? Like, oh, this still has a working radio. Like, that's about it. There's not very much that, like, you could, like, to me, a street car is like, I could drive, maybe not in Vancouver, but let's say I could drive in Richmond and not get pulled over. But you're running a straight pipe exhaust cage, huge splitter, huge canards, huge wing, all this kind of stuff. It's, to me, it's not a street car anymore. And a caged car is not a street car to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That,
yeah, and they did the same thing with the Cayenne Turbo, with the Turbo GT. Whatever, that set the SUV
record
around Nürburgring. Let's see, that was 759. So that's quite a bit. No, sorry, that is not 759. That car ran a 733.9. So it ran the same time as it ran the same time as the Taycan, but probably more consistent. Like, you could probably go for a second lap, and because you're, even though your fuel tank might be a quarter down,
you're not losing performance. Does,
you're not losing performance. In fact, you're probably gaining performance on that second lap.
Yeah.
Marginally lighter. Yeah. But no, the Taycan and the Cayenne run very similar speeds. Very respectable. Like, this is faster than, you know, early GTRs, like R35s, LFA, this type of car. Like, it's fast. There's no denying that. But
speaking of Cayenne, there was something that they brought up recently, something they could have made, and I'm very upset that they didn't. What they have shown off here is it was a one-off thing. They made a Cayenne convertible. I mean, there's something about convertible SUVs that I love.
Like, oh yeah.
Okay,
that's
sure.
your do-it-all vehicle. You know, I was talking about it earlier, but jack of all trades. But an SUV, you can go off-roading, you can go on-roading, you can not really, you can't, well. In the case of the Cayenne and the Murano and the Evoque, you can't really carry many people. You can't really carry any luggage, but the Cayenne's got kind of decent on-road chops and lap times, as we mentioned. So, you know, had they keep developing this Cayenne convertible, who knows? Maybe we would see.
So the funny thing is, We have our kicking tires RAV6, as Justin likes to call it. We were very, very close to getting rid of that for a Cayenne. But we didn't go for it because we're like, you know what, this cost of everything, it's just going to be more compared to a Toyota.
Yeah, harder to work on. Yeah.
If they had this Cayenne
convertible, I would have been swayed.
No problem. I mean, look.
Off-roading. Open top, open. It's just a different experience.
Like all the Wrangler guys right now, it's just like, that's just every day. That's normal. Like, I get it. But that's a Wrangler. It's always been that way. But a Cayenne? A Murano Cross Cabriolet?
Yeah. I never seen this Cayenne concept. Like, if you haven't seen it, Google it. It is one of the ugliest cars you've ever seen.
It's bad. From A-pillar back, but you know it's what? Bad.
You know what? When this Cayenne, you know, it's the whole story and the whole reason Porsche is talking about this right now is it's 20 years of Cayenne from 02 to 2022. The Cayenne first generation, I think it's called the 957, one of the most hated cars out there. I don't know if everyone has kind of forgotten that how badly they talk trash about this car. But Porsche purists hated it because they're like, this is a sports car company. You can't be making SUVs. SUV people hate it because they're like, this you can't go like.
It's not a true. Know,
it's not a real truck. It's like, what is this? And just people in general were like, this thing is ugly. And looking back at it now, you see this pre-facelift first gen, like 03, 04 Cayenne. And it looks okay. Like, to me, it's inoffensive.
The front,
just gotten so used to it. That fried egg look.
The front end was okay. It was the back of the Cayenne that hurt. The taillights, they're just this red blob. There's nothing about it that said, this is a nice car. That was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Because
then now you pull up in one and then you're like, there's nothing wrong with this. Like, it's not pretty, but like... No. Man, people hated this car.
I remember when the Cayenne first came out, the Cayenne Turbo, it dethroned the Subaru Forester XT as the fastest SUV from 0 to 60 at that time.
Which something still wasn't I remember. That fast.
I remember it was like Car and Driver, like reading those magazines when I was a kid. It's just like, I remember exactly that
I remember
phrase.
Driving this first gen Cayenne Turbo the first time, like, damn, this thing is slow. Like, if you step on it, it will be fast. Like, if you off a red light, if you brake torque it and you build boost, and like, it is fast. But just day-to-day driving, it felt so heavy and slow. It's the opposite of the RAV6, really. RAV6 would have felt faster.
What's kind of interesting is the blurb, they talk about how the convertible top mechanism is basically the same as the current 911 Targa, so kind of how it folds down, and that's actually kind of cool. I mean, they use, I mean, a kind of in a way like 20-year-old tech, I guess, in a current Porsche. But that's something that's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. I do like.
So it's like the whole back clamshell would come up,
kind of
swallow in the roof, and then it would open, or like it would be an open top experience with no sign of a roof. Because it's all hidden under the floor, I guess is what they mean by it's like the new current Targa.
I do like the, like, sure, this is a convertible, we know that, right? But this kind of leads the way into like an actual Porsche coupe, a Cayenne coupe. Because The doors are
which we
longer,
have now.
Right? The doors are longer, so like actually is a coupe, unlike the current coupe, which actually has four doors.
Yeah.
This looks actually kind of like really cool.
Yeah. I mean, the Cayenne is the whole point, you know, why I want to bring up that this car was so hated is that it is now like the every car. Like it's setting Nürburgring track records. It has a winning, you know, it's got a history at off-roading, and maybe not so much these days, but it used to stand for something as far as those like big rallies, Trans-Siberia kind of stuff. And it's, you know, to some people, it's just that luxury SUV that like you're really, you know, you flex it. It is a status symbol. It is a pretty nice car to own. Generally speaking, it's a pretty iconic vehicle that did a lot and a lot of controversy behind it, but it led to such a stream of sporty SUVs that, like, I don't know, I think the old guard just wasn't open to that idea that, like, hey, an SUV should be like a Ford Explorer, that just three rows, you carry a lot of people, tow a lot of stuff. And nowadays the SUV concept is so much, I don't know, more,
it definitely takes that sport and the sport utility a lot more.
Yeah, sport and the luxury side too. Yeah. I think, like, you look at the Range Rover from pre this Cayenne, so like a 2000 Range Rover, that thing is still a tractor in comparison, right? Mm-hmm. But you look at like how the market has shifted, and I think this Cayenne really led the way. You know, obviously there's, you know, the X5 and the ML and all these other European SUVs that came out. But yeah, to me, the Cayenne, I think, is kind of the king, because it's always been the fastest, or generally is the fastest around a track. And it was also the model with the most off-road chops, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is the cool part right now is like, you can potentially get one for like $5,000. Maybe not today.
Mm.
Like maybe like 3 years back, you could have got one for like $5,000. That's how cheap they are now. 20-year-old Porsche that was like 80K, $5,000.
Yeah, and today it's still like, it still drives like, great. Like I remember when that V6 Cayenne came out too. That was kind of controversy, because people were like, you know, this is like, they had the black plastic Cayenne badge. Like it looked very low rent, but going back to it now, and like, you know what, that car had a 280 horsepower VR6. It actually drove fine. To me, driving it in the city felt no slower than the turbo, even though the turbo had like 200 horsepower on it. As far as like regular driving, it wasn't bad. And it's a VR6, so it's easier to maintain, I would say, than a V8 turbo.
That makes sense. I mean, two less spark plugs, at least.
Yeah, I don't know why we're talking about a 20-year-old car, but no,
buy
Cayenne,
one. Don't.
Buy one or don't. I don't really care. But the convertible is cool.
Yeah.
But leading into other open top off-road experiences, one of the signature or most iconic open top off-roaders that, you know, not that common. Probably never seen one in Canada, but they are an icon in like California, which is the Myers Manx, which is that kind of beetle looking dune buggy car.
It's a beetle with the beetle body taken off of it, this fiberglass body slapped onto it, and a lot of people like fully modify it. I mean, the Myers Manx, like, it's such a big cult following that Grand Tour did a whole episode, actually two episodes, because they had two back-to-back episodes about it. And there's one that had like a V8 in it, there's lifted, like, you can do a lot to these cars. They're so cool, but they're coming back in 2023 with an all-electric version, which is actually kind of cool. But before I get to the specs, I want to talk quickly about the looks. This looks great.
Absolutely, that little great. Froggy car with big tires, and
yeah,
you know, it looks like a lot of travel and a suspension, no overhangs.
Yeah. Like,
this thing would be sick to commute in, and you can, because you can get this with a 60 kilowatt hour battery. I don't know why you would really need one, because where are you going with that? Where do you, why do you need all this range? Because this car probably weighs very little. You know, off roading, you're going to lose a lot of range.
40 kilowatt hour.
I think there was.
It was 40 or 20.
Ah.
So it gives you either a 300 mile range or a 150 mile range. But nice. I mean, like, still a 40 kilowatt hour, 300 mile range, that's still a lot. But
yeah,
what I love about it is it looks like the regular buggy. Like, it doesn't look
They haven't like a changed crazy. They've only, you know, smoothed out some edges, add some LED touches here and there, but that is 100% a Myers Manx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
General Grabber ATs on them look good. Like, it looks like the original, other than the back. The back's been updated a little bit with the integrated taillights. But I still really like this.
Yeah. If this thing is street legal here, I would totally daily it.
It's the perfect car. It really is. It's like convertible, off-road, on-road.
Well, and you could put a hard top on it in case it rains.
Yeah, well,
you can get a version with a hard top and a windshield.
You just have open doors on the side, but, you know, you'll get a little way.
You wear, that's what jackets, like, you don't not wear a jacket just because you're in a car. Like, I don't know.
I take my jacket off when I get in the car.
Well, don't. if you drive a Myers Manx, just don't.
It's not an option for you.
Yeah, but otherwise, it's totally livable. People ride their bikes year round.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. So the bigger battery, they didn't talk about the smaller one, but the bigger battery with the 40 kilowatt, it's 202 horsepower, 240 pound feet of torque, fed to the rear wheels through two electrical motors. So it's exactly how it should be. It's a rear wheel drive.
Be great off road because it's got dual motors, even though it's on the back.
I mean, power wise, this is a ton more than what you had before.
Like a Beetle motor.
The little air cooled Beetle motor barely made 100 horsepower, if that. I think it was like probably 70 like horsepower.
40.
This is a ton more power. And you know what?
I want to know how much it is. I want to know if I can drive it on the streets here. Because the press pictures has a rear license plate. A front license plate would look terrible on this thing.
And it's a California license plate too. Of course it would be, right?
Yeah, California, like they're pretty strict on their motor vehicle laws. So if it's got a plate there, it must be street legal.
Yeah.
Apparently there's some beta program.
First batch of them, 50 only. It's got to ship in 2023.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah. This thing is it's so cool looking.
I kind of wish they integrated a little bit more tech. So looking at the interior, I feel like there's ways that they could have given it just a little bit of creature comforts.
Yeah, there's really nothing.
This is very much just like a scooter on four wheels, or like an adventure bike on four wheels.
Because Volkswagen did an ID buggy before. I'll pull it up here. This ID buggy, it's basically what they try to do. Myers Manx kind of thing, right? But it doesn't have that same presence. It looks like a frog. It's super big. It's wide. It doesn't have that buggy look that it should have. Like, they got a picture of it two side by side. There's no resemblance whatsoever. It's kind of like... Yeah, it's just kind of like whatever. But this Myers Manx, it's...
I don't know. I kind of like perfect. The VW one, too.
I think the VW one's too big. It's too wide. That's really what I don't like about it. It's comparing to the Myers Manx, it's the perfect size.
Because it's all tire.
Yeah. It's great. Absolutely love it. Anyways, let's move along. Also, another throwback. MTV, I mean... Back a long time ago, probably like 20 years
early
ago now.
2000s, yeah. Around when the Cayenne came out.
every story's around there. MTV had a TV show called Pimp My Ride, with Ice Cube. Great.
No, Exhibit.
No, they had Ice Cube as well at the end, didn't they? It was Exhibit. But they... Wait, let me...
Everyone knows it as Exhibit. I don't know if there was an Ice Cube.
I thought Cube did do a few episodes.
Exhibit is the iconic...
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Never mind. Yo,
Jimmy does not know his 90s and 2000s rap stars.
I really don't. Anyways, it was Exhibit.
God.
I swear there was something.
It's the Yo Dog. There's a whole series of memes about it.
Come on, Jimmy. I've watched it a lot back then. It's been a long time. Anyways, excuses over.
They're not all the same. Like, just because they have the same skin color.
It's not that. I remember there's something. Anyways. All right. Anyways.
Yeah. Iconic show.
Super iconic show. Everyone watched it.
They always pick a car that's like down in the dumps, and the owner also has like some kind of loser story, and somehow they still hang on to this car. And then they put like they're like, oh, you're drowning in student loan debt? Here's like a popcorn machine in the back of your Chevy Cavalier. Hey, I put a fish tank in your falling apart minivan.
It was all bad because they don't really
look at the mechanicals or anything. They're just like, hey, you're into video games? And they put like a TV on the headrest or something. Like, I don't know. It was random stuff.
If you just search up the real truth or untold story behind Pimp My Ride, you'll find a bunch of videos about it. Essentially, none of the cars were looked after. Some of the cars, like if they give you like screens on the outside before they actually give it to you, they take the screens out because it's not legal to have those screens like on the outside of a vehicle. There was one donut machine car. There was like chandeliers. Like a lot of stuff just never worked. And they were just given to whoever it was. I remember a YouTuber, Hoovy's Garage. He had the caravan that was part of the Pimp My Ride thing as well. Like he bought it recently, maybe in the past year or two. And the car is just absolute trash. Like everything is falling apart. But you know, it's been 20 years since it's been pimped, right? But still, it's just
embarrassing to drive one. Like anywhere you go, you'd get vandalized for sure. Like...
Yeah. But back to the story. Pimp My Ride is coming back to the UK though, not for the US. So with partnership by eBay Motors, they're gonna, I'm sure, you know, pay for a lot of this, but it's gonna be on MTV UK's YouTube channel, so it's gonna be readily available for anyone to watch. And from what I can see, they have very similar kind of like feel about it, where they have this is a British rapper, Lady Leisure. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her
name
correctly.
It's like Lisa, but Leisure.
Oh. Okay, well, clearly you know more about this than I do. But like, it's the same type of show. I mean, there's a kid here with a kid, maybe a kid, Mitsubishi 3000 GT. Like, there's like the car doesn't look horrible, but there's like rust around the side. There's like other cars as well, of course. There's one person with a Beetle, there's a person with a Vauxhall
Zafira. I mean,
yeah, it's questionable, some of these cars that they have on this kind of preview.
That's the whole point, is they take a crappy car and they don't necessarily make it any better, but they put a lot of money and work into it.
In this Vauxhall, it shows that they're putting in subs already. So like we know, and you can see all these people are super excited. Isn't this a smart 4-4?
That might be a Toyota Aygo.
Aygo or 4-4?
The one that they played soccer with.
Oh,
the Aygo.
That makes sense.
Like
as well.
The Top Gear.
Because the hatch is a single piece glass. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they. Oh, what is this? A 3000 GT again? What's the engine?
The shop looks nice.
The shop looks great.
Yeah.
Voxel. Yeah.
Some... Notice not a lot of mechanical work going on. So they have hoist, but there are no tools. So
well, they have really nice cars beside it. It's like mm-hmm. S classes and whatnot. So like, who knows? You know. But I guess we'll see, right? Yeah. I'm interested.
It's always a fun watch. Like, don't look at these like, oh, these are legitimate builds. Anyone is actually proud to own or proud to have worked on, but it's still a fun watch.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like, have you ever watched Monster Garage?
Is it like a Netflix show?
No, Monster Garage was also a 2000s show. It's with Jesse James, the fabricator bike builder. Yeah. He takes like ideas, crazy ideas, and puts them in the car. Like there was a car that he made to fly. There's like amphibious cars. Like it's just very similar type of thing. Just like, yeah. But oh, it was a Citroen, not a Aygo. Just saw the front end of it. There we go, Citroen. Wait, wasn't Citroen the same as the Aygo? I remember there was something about that. Anyways. But yeah, if you're interested, MTV UK for your Pimp My Ride episodes. It's coming out, when did they say? Premieres August 19th. So not far. Not far at all. You know, watch the first episode and then take a look and see, you know, give it a good rating or whatever you need to do to get these shows back. I think it'll be kind of cool to see more of this. Oh, here's a 3000 GT underneath the hood. You got that V6. Looks like the NA version, non-twin turbo.
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of like that car, the 3000 GT.
Oh, yeah. I saw there's a really clean one. That's always it's near Bridgeport and number 5. I always see it. Super nice car. Wouldn't want to own it, but I like looking at it.
I remember it was like a technological marvel for them.
Super expensive too.
V6 when twin it was turbo new, four-wheel steering, I think it was as well.
When it was new, those cars were 911 money. Yeah. That car, the Supra, the NSX. But, NSX is Ferrari money.
Yeah, but it was Jackie Chan backed it.
Oh, shifting. I'm is that the car he shifted?
Great movie. I think back then Jackie Chan wasn't he sponsored by Mitsubishi?
Yes.
Yeah. So like all his cars were Mitsubishi.
Right, GTO.
Like, and all his like movies had Mitsubishis in them. Anyways,
moving on.
Back. Moving on. Let's talk about the new ID4. I mean, it's not new, really, but they call it the new ID4. What they've done here is created a brand new model, one that's slightly cheaper so that it's easier for you to get into. $44,000 Canadian dollars, $38,000, I think, US. So what so
four grand cheaper.
So what they've done to make it the cheaper version is put a smaller battery in it, 58 kilowatt hour, which comes with, I think, 330-ish kilometer range versus 444 on the bigger battery. I think that's great.
I think I would not even consider saving that $4,000. I think they already do not build enough of the Pro. They already cannot keep up production. Why do we need a second model? It's not like you're hurting for sales. I don't know. To me, 400 is kind of the sweet spot, right? Like, even though the ID4, they've been proven to do pretty good range. Like their range estimates are pretty realistic, and you can probably even exceed them depending how you drive. I just don't. To me, it's like I'm spending, you know, upwards of 45-50K. Like, I don't think the $4,000 really makes a difference. Me, I would just want, like, I get having a dual motor and a rear wheel drive one. I get that. But to me, like the slightly smaller battery, I don't see the appeal. It's going to be obsolete sooner because people will see the range. 5 years down the road, people are going to see, oh, this car realistically only has sub 300 range. I don't want it. Because brand new, it has 334.
That's the thing. Like, I've said this before and I'll say it again, but I just don't think electric cars are cars that you should be buying. It's a lease car. You should return it in 3-4 years because the car is going to be out of date. The battery is not going to be the greatest. It's not going to hold its charge as well. You want to get rid of it. So like in my, like what I'm thinking is like, if I want just a relatively inexpensive electric car, ID4, 44,000 with 300 so kilometer range, it's plenty for me anyways. Like my commute is short, right? So for me, I don't mind a 300 kilometer or so range electric car. And the ID4 is pretty nice on the inside. It's, you know, relatively spacious. It gives you everything that you really need in an electric car. The only thing is, at 44, I could also buy the Ioniq. No, Ioniq was 40. No, Ioniq was 45. You can get a
Bolt, which the ID4 is a better buy than a Bolt. Maybe. But the Bolt has more range. Ah, that's hard. That's hard to say.
Oh yeah, Ioniq went up in price. It was 45. Now it's 47.
Because let's say 330, and this is rear wheel drive only. So anywhere east of BC, you wouldn't really want this car anyways. Or east of the lower mainland, I should say, in Canada.
Yeah, that's true.
You probably wouldn't really want this car. And I don't know. To me, it's like I could afford that 4K, because to me, that 4K, it's money you get back in the end. Because this car, if you ask me 4 years down the road, looking at these cars side to side, one car has 100 kilometers more range. I'm going with that easily.
Oh,
for $3,000 to $4,000 more.
A Bolt is even cheaper, a 38.
Mm.
And the EUV, the slightly bigger version of it, is 40.
Oh, nice. And the Leaf doesn't have this kind of range, right?
I think the Leaf does now. Because the Leaf, they have that bigger battery now. Let's take a quick look here. Leaf. Where are you on the website? 340
kilometer with the 60 kilowatt hour battery.
But that's
61 is like a 50K car, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 45 for the 60 kilowatt hour battery.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, get an ID4 over a Leaf.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that. They don't have pricing for the area.
I guess yet. That must be why. That's why they make this offering, is that it does compete more in that entry level EV range.
Right.
Whereas the Pro model, you're getting up into, hey, why don't I spend a little bit more and get one of the more premium offerings out there?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Ioniq, like the Mach-E, like the Tesla Model 3. It gets up there, especially when you load up a Pro model. So that's fair. But yeah, to me, I think the 3-4K for way more range is worth it.
It's worth it, like if this is your primary vehicle.
But that's the thing, it's not, even if you may not use all that range, I think you get it back in the end.
If you just lease it, right? Like you won't care about that as much.
Can you lease an ID4?
I think there's nothing available on their site anymore because
Because I thought they were like a 3-year wait. You can't even place an order for one
anymore. Well, yeah, that's just Volkswagen problems because Russia, Germany thing.
Mm-hmm.
A Soul EV, it's only 42.
Doesn't you have to drive a Kia Soul?
I don't mind it. I don't mind a Kia Soul at all.
It's just like one of those like kind of embarrassing cars, but I kind of like it's like a guilty pleasure. Like we're not the ones to say, because we wouldn't mind driving a Murano Cross Cabriolet. I wouldn't mind driving an Evoque convertible.
The Evoque convertible really cool, but
it actually has good lines. Like
I just can't buy an Evoque convertible. Like I know why. I would
buy one with like the best extended warranty on the market.
You know what sucks about the Soul EV though? No cool colors. You'll get gray, black. Blue, black, or white now. What happened to my green? My neon green.
Yeah. That's the meme. That's the meme. Well, you can get the Ioniq, the regular one, right? Or the Kona Electric.
I was looking at Kona Electric. It's 46.
What? For
Kona Electric, yeah.
Okay, the Kona Electric is now no longer relevant.
It's quite expensive. And then...
It used to be like low 40s.
I think the Ioniq is dead.
Oh, okay. The Prius-looking one?
Yeah, the Prius-looking one. I was going to say something nicer, but there's nothing.
Like people, because it's confusing. Because people, Ioniq used to be, that used to be the car. And then now we have Ioniq 5, Ioniq 6.
Yeah. 7's coming out shortly.
So when you tell people, oh, it's the Prius-looking one, they might know what it is. It's not that popular. So maybe not. But yeah, if you're buying, I still think it's worth it to get it.
To get a bigger battery?
I think you'll get your money back. Because I think the smaller battery cars, you know, people are going to see 58 kilowatt hours in 2026 and be like, what the hell? I don't want to be seen with a 58 kilowatt hour battery. Whereas a 77 is still a respectable amount of range, even 4 years down the road, because you don't want to end up like early Leaf buyers.
Well, that's the thing.
iMeef buyer.
Like, you definitely don't want to be an iMeef buyer, but I personally even looked at an early Leaf recently. Not recently, like in the past months, but like in a last year, I was looking at a Leaf because I could have got one for like 10 grand. Sure, it only has like 80 kilometer range, but it's perfect for the commute that I need. For less than a 10, like 10 grand car. Don't have to pay for gas. It's okay.
80, and then it like gets a little bit cold. And
then it's like 50.
It's like 50, and then you get stuck in a traffic jam, and then you lost 10K just sitting in traffic.
It's fine.
Running the heat. It's scary. It can get scary.
Just have that tow hook installed in the front. Make sure you have a tow rope. I mean, how scary could that be? Get someone to tow you as they're towing you. You regen. You get power. Mm-hmm. Win-win.
Yes.
But yes, that's the new ID4. Slightly smaller battery for slightly less price. Dustin thinks it's not worth it. I think maybe if you're leasing it and you really don't care about it, but also, I mean, it depends on availability. I really doubt that Volkswagen is going to make a lot of regular ID4s when they can make more monies from the ID4 Pro.
Yeah, and there's more demand for all-wheel drive in Canada at least.
Yeah.
So I think the allocation will ultimately...
I mean, it's only $9,000 more for all-wheel drive and a bigger battery.
Yeah,
and with the all-wheel drive, it's more power, quite a bit more too.
It's not expensive, and just the peace of mind to have the bigger battery, it seems worth it to me.
Yeah, definitely kind of makes more sense that way. Mm-hmm. I think that's really it for this week. Anything else?
I think that is it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening in for this week. A little bit shorter, but we'll see you next week.